It's so good to be here with you guys today. Just excited and happy and blessed. And the Lord has put a message on my heart, and so I'm excited to share it. During the worship today, we're singing about, you know, soaring above the storm. And I went camping one time in Colorado, and I had never seen this before. It was incredible. There was this eagle, or maybe it was a hawk. I don't know. I'm not an expert at that. But it was soaring, and it had its little one with him or her. And she kept putting her wing underneath. And it would kind of flounder, and then, you know. And I was just like, whoa. So it's so neat when we sing songs about eagles and the Lord taking us up on eagle's wings and things like that. What a blessing. So, hey, let's pray for the word again. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your words are truth. Your words are life, Lord God. Your words are spirit, Lord Jesus. So we just pray that you would speak to us through your word. Lord, remove me so that you could use me, Lord God. And I pray that everyone here would see past me today and right to you, Lord Jesus. You're our King, you're our God, and you love us, and you have a word for us today. Lord, open our hearts. We choose right now to open our hearts to receive what it is that you want to say to your bride, your church this morning. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so we're going to take a look at Exodus chapter 16 today. Exodus chapter 16, the message that the Lord put on my heart for the church this morning is bread and water. Bread and water. Our bodies need bread and water. Our bodies are quite frail. Without bread, without water, we die. And if we limit our intake of bread and water, then we're going to be emaciated, we're going to be weak, and we're not going to be able to physically function. Right? So we need bread and water, and we need it regularly. Well, there's a spiritual application there. The Lord always wants to take us from the physical to the spiritual. He created our bodies with certain needs and things like that. He created nature and water cycle and all of that. And as we look and study at these things, we can learn something deeper about the Lord. And His Word brings those things to life. And so today we're going to look at the Word of God and see the spiritual application of bread and water. And so let's take a look at chapter 16 of Exodus. And the situation is this. The children of Israel have been delivered from the land of Egypt. The land of Egypt is symbolic. It's a type in the Bible of being a non-Christian, unbelief, idolatry, and life of the flesh. Okay, so that's Egypt. And it's a life of bondage and oppression. And then God comes along as they cry out for deliverance, and He rescues them from that place of Egypt, that place of bondage and oppression, baptizes them through the Red Sea into a new life, a life where they're going to be the people of God. He's going to be their God, and they will be His own special people. And so He needs to teach them reliance on Him, stripping them of the old life of idolatry and worldly pleasures, and bringing them into a life of reliance on Him, stripping them of a life of self-reliance and bringing them to a place of reliance on Him. And He does this in the wilderness. And so they've been delivered. They're now a fledgling nation that will one day produce the Messiah. But first, God's got some things He wants to teach them. And so they come into the wilderness, and there's no food to eat, and they become hungry. Think about it. You're in the wilderness. God's just delivered you great, wonderful, miraculous signs and wonders. And now you're in the wilderness, and there's no food out there. But you have a family, and you have flocks, and you need to feed them. And it's been a while. Lord, what are you doing? What's going on? What's going on, Lord? Are you going to provide for us? Are you going to provide? And the answer to that question is always yes. God is going to provide. He's going to provide for them. He's going to provide for us. And so they need to learn to trust in the Lord. And God has an incredible provision for them. An incredible provision. And so we read here in chapter 16, give me a second. Oh, yeah. Verse 2. It says, then the whole congregation of the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness, and the children of Israel said to them, oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the pots of meat and when we ate bread to the full. For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Listen to the accusation. You brought us out here to kill us. Wow. They're really coming against the Lord and against Moses at this time, and they're looking back and they're forgetting about the oppression, and they're forgetting about the slavery that they were in, and they're forgetting about how they cried out to be rescued, and they're remembering the pots of meat and all the bread that they had to the full. And sometimes when we left the old life and we come into the new life in Christ, sometimes we can go back and we can think of the good things, you know. Oh, that sin kind of was fun for a season there. That was good times. But we forget the hangover. And we forget the pain and of being separated from the Lord. And we forget the emotional pain that we cause ourselves, maybe from living a life of sexual immorality or whatever. And the pain and the loneliness that was there. And so that's kind of what's happening here, is now that they're developing a hunger, they're forgetting about the bad that was over there, and they're only remembering the good, and they're saying, you've just brought us out here to kill us. Why didn't we stay enslaved back in Egypt? But God has got so much more for them, so much better. And so we read God's solution here in verse 4. It says, then the Lord said to Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. And the people shall go out and gather a certain quota every day that I may test them whether they will walk in my law or not. And it shall be on the sixth day that they shall prepare what they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And so every day when they wake up in the morning, there's going to be this bread-like substance that's going to bring them nutrients, and it's going to be on the ground like frost. And all they have to do is gather it just enough for that particular day and no more. Until day six, when they gather twice as much, so that on the Sabbath day, the day of rest, they can have extra so that they don't have to go out and gather. They can take a rest from their work. Now, this is a miracle of God, because some people didn't believe the word of God. And when they woke up in the morning and they saw this bread-like substance all over the ground and they gathered it, they said, you know, is this really going to be here tomorrow? I know God said it was, but maybe it won't be. I'm going to gather a little extra. And so they gathered extra, and then the next day, that bread was bad. It was rotten. It didn't last. But on the sixth day when they gathered twice as much, they woke up the next day and it was good. So that bread lasted twice as long. This is a miracle of God. This is an incredible provision of the Lord. They don't have to plant crops. They don't have to butcher their animals if they don't want to. And they can just wake up every morning and have food to eat. Wow, that is amazing. But it's a life of faith. It's a life of, yeah, it's going to be here tomorrow. God's going to do this again tomorrow. And then the next time, yeah, God's going to do this again. And the next, yeah, he's going to do it again. He's going to do it again. And so he kept doing it, but they had to keep believing. They had to keep believing. And so God gives them this incredible provision of daily manna from him. Well, when they looked at the manna, they said, what is it? What is it? And that's what they named it. What is it? That's what manna means. What is it? And so I'm so glad that the Bible actually teaches us what it is, because the physical, right, it was like had the consistence of coriander seed, and it tasted like wafers with honey. But what is it? What is it? Let's go deeper. You see, God wants to take us from the physical to the spiritual. He made us a certain way. We look around. We talked about this, the world around us and nature and, you know, our needs for food and for water. And that's the physical. But what is he saying? What's the spiritual application? Because there is a spiritual reality that's more real than the physical. It's more significant than the physical, and it's more lasting than the physical. And so let's get deeper, and let's ask, what is it? And so we're going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Keep your finger in Exodus. We're coming back to Exodus 17. Flip over a couple books to Deuteronomy, or tap there with your finger. And we're going to Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And it says that Moses is speaking to the people. It's fast forwarded 40 years. They've had to wander the wilderness because they disobeyed God and did not have faith. And so when God said, go into the land and take it, they were scared and said, no. There's giants in the land. There's fortified places that we can't take. We don't have the ability. And so instead of trusting in the ability of God, they were looking at their own ability, and it's never enough in our own ability. We have to have the power and the strength of God to go in and do His word. And so He says to them, regarding their manna, 40 years later, He says, so He humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna which you did not know, nor did your fathers know. Why? That He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. That's how man lives. Because you see, the manna in the wilderness would not allow them to live forever. It was a temporary provision. It was a physical provision. But the Word of God, the bread of life, now that brings life, eternal life. Amen? And so the manna is the Word of God, the Word of God that sustains us, the Word of God that empowers us to live a Christian life as we are in His Word every day. And of course it needs to be infused with the power of the Holy Spirit and with our faith, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. We need manna every day. We can't live on yesterday's manna. We need it every day. And so the encouragement today regarding the bread is don't go without food. Imagine if physically you just decided to eat now and then, you know, skip a meal here, skip a meal there. By the end of the week, as long as I had three meals, I'm okay. What? No. We need food every day, and we need food regularly. We even need a snack, if you're like me, to sustain us, to nurture us, to strengthen us so that we can do our job, right? To provide for our families or whatever. Just to live, move, breathe, and work for the Lord. So we need that food daily. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 2 and 3 says, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. It really starts with a hunger, doesn't it? A hunger for His Word, a hunger for Him. And we say, God, I'm tired of being away from You. I'm tired of being separate from You. I want to draw close to You. How do I do that? Get in the Word. Begin to read the Scriptures. Study the Scriptures. Memorize the Scriptures. Meditate on the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures. Oh, man, I just love praying the Scriptures. Pray the Scriptures back to the Lord. And life comes and strength comes, nourishment comes through His Word. Now, not only is manna the Word of God, not only is the bread the Word, but it's also Jesus Christ Himself. Let's take a look at John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Very familiar scriptures to many. John chapter 1, verse 1 says, in the beginning was the Word, the manna. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. He. So the Word is called a He. Now take a look at verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word becomes flesh. Think about words. Words that we write down, words that we speak. It's a way of taking what's in our minds and conveying it to somebody else, communicating it to somebody else. So that our thoughts and our ideas or the pictures we have in our head can be visualized or understood by other people. That's what word is. Jesus was the embodiment of words. He was the living Word. He was the express image of God, the Bible says, so that when people saw Jesus, they saw the Father. He said to Philip, "Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father." He was God in the flesh. He was God with skin on and expressions. Can you imagine God being able to look at someone in the eyes and smile at them and say, "Your sins are forgiven"? That's who Jesus was. He's the Word of God. He was the mind of God manifested on earth. It's beautiful. Jesus himself addresses this in John chapter 6. Flip over a couple chapters to John chapter 6. Notice that the manna is in Exodus chapter 16. Jesus is going to speak about the manna here in John chapter 6. And what verse am I going to? John chapter 6. Oh, there it is. Sorry, guys. So the situation is this. The situation is that Jesus has just multiplied the loaves and fish, right? A boy, you know, all the crowd comes out to get healed and to hear Jesus preach, and they're out there in the wilderness and there's no food. Sound familiar? And Jesus takes this kid's lunch. He's got the five loaves and the two fish, and he breaks the bread and he thanks the Lord and he distributes to the entire crowd. He multiplies the food. And immediately these people, who are very familiar with the story of their own Jewish heritage and the story of the children of Israel being provided for 40 years in the wilderness, every day waking up to food on the ground, they're going, "This is sweet. Maybe I can take this guy and he'll want to live with me for a while. Hey, Jesus, we need some bread and fish. Can you, Wouldn't that be a good, sweet deal?" And so the people are following, and they're looking for him. He had actually, after he did this, he went off to be alone. He then came to the disciples on the sea, and he calmed the sea, walking on water. Incredible, wonderful story. And the people finally find him. And Jesus says to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled." They wanted to find him to get more food all the time. "Do not labor for the food which perishes," the physical, "but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal upon him." Jesus is saying, let's go from the physical and let's get to the more important, the spiritual. That food in the wilderness, they ate it and they're dead. Is that what you want? You want me to be around and just break loaves for you your whole life and then you die and go to hell? Or do you want a better bread? A bread that's going to save you from hell and eternal death and bring you into everlasting life. You want that bread? Which bread do you want? And he's telling them, well, this is the bread you should want. Let's take a look. Let's fast forward to verse 47 of the same chapter. He says to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. And then he says in verse 53, most assuredly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Imagine hearing these words for the first time. Maybe you are today and you're going, what in the world? I'll take a finger. Rib, anybody? You know, they're going, what is he talking about? Because they're thinking physical. I don't want to eat his flesh. That's disgusting. And so it really kind of freaks some of them out, and they take off and they leave. And his disciples ask him about it and say, Lord, you've offended some. What's going on here? And this is his response in verse 63. He says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. They're spirit and they're life. Think spiritually, guys. So let's think spiritually. Ingesting the Lord Jesus Christ. Physically, when we eat something, we take a bite, delicious food, and we begin to chew on it, right? Chew on it, prepare it to swallow. Our saliva mingles with it, softens it, especially if it's one of those hard cookies or something. And then, you know, we swallow it down. And so we've got the food in our belly. And you guys getting hungry yet? And then our stomach breaks that food down to the molecular level, right? The nutrients that we need to grow and to move for activity so that I can do this and look silly. We need food for that, right? And so those molecules are then distributed into the bloodstream, distributed by the vascular system to every cell in our bodies so that we could grow and move. Think about that with the Lord Jesus Christ, ingesting the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants to be every part of us. He wants to become one with us. He wants a relationship with us like a marriage relationship. He wants intimacy with us. He wants to be like that with us, not like this. The Bible says, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. He's there. We can be as close to him as we want to be. The problem is because of our sin nature, we so often don't want to be close to him. And so we need to pray against that and act against that and open the word even when we don't feel like it and pray when we don't feel like it. My dad describes it like turning on a hose in summer where the water's like warm at first, right, when you're getting into prayer. And then all of a sudden the cold water starts coming and it's so refreshing and wonderful. And so often when we just don't want to, when we just don't feel like it, but we do it anyway, it bubbles up in us. In the worship that we didn't feel like doing, we lift our hands, we maybe do something, you know, physical. Bring us in. Just say, God, I don't feel like it, but I surrender to you anyway. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to pray anyway. I don't feel like it, but I'm going to open up the scriptures and begin to read and begin to pray, and then it comes alive. Boom, because God says, just draw near to me. And he meets us there. Isn't he good? He's so wonderful. We love him so much. And so the exhortation is to ingest the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him become every part of us. That food becomes us. You are what you eat, the old saying goes. Very true. Everything that you see here and all that the activity happening here comes from what I eat. And so we need to ingest the Lord Jesus Christ to grow and to be active for him. All right, so that's the manna from heaven. Now, there is something I want to say about the Word of God. There's a scripture, and it's speaking in chapter 4 of Hebrews. And it's talking about the children of Israel in the wilderness, how they did not enter his rest because they wouldn't enter in by faith. Right? Remember, they didn't trust the Lord with their children. They didn't trust the Lord to overcome the obstacles that were in the land, and so they did not enter his rest, but they had the Word of God. God had been speaking to them. In fact, God audibly spoke to them the Ten Commandments. They heard him from the mountain. And after God finished talking, they said to Moses, we don't want to talk to him anymore. and they stood afar off. They distanced themselves from the Lord when he just wants to be close to them. Moses drew near. How did Moses draw near? But they did not. Because Moses drew near to the Lord in faith. They did not. They had the word of God. They received the word of God, but they did not receive it with faith. And here's what it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, we have a promise that we can enter into the rest of the Lord spiritually today. The rest of the Lord is that spirit-filled walk with Jesus Christ where we're trusting him despite our circumstances, despite the giants in the land, despite the fortified cities. We can rest in the Lord and go, you know what? He's got this. I've got this. I've got this. I had a friend that was just recently struggling with alcoholism. He came to the place where he was just ready to be done with it. And said, I want to be delivered. He started going to AA. He had a business trip to go on, which I was also scheduled to go on. And his AA people and stuff said, don't go, man. Don't go. It's, you know, business trip, salespeople, they're going to go out, they're going to party, bars around, you're going to be alone, temptations. He gets on the airplane, and he's just praying. And the Lord spoke to him and said, I got this. And he said a peace came upon him. A peace. Yes, the Lord's got this. And then he was able to go through the trip. And God, you know, I wasn't even sure why I was going on this trip. You know, like, what am I doing? Lord, the Lord usually sends me on these trips as like a missions type thing. And so I was able to just come alongside him and encourage him. And we went out to dinner together. And he was hurting. He was having a hard time. He was saying, I want a drink. We got to pray. God made it. He made it through, and now he's actually going to be going to seminary. So it's such a blessing to see God move and work. And what did he do? He surrendered it to the Lord finally. God had told him years before, I want you to go to seminary, but there's certain things you need to give up first. And he actually gave him a list of things that he wrote down, and one of them was alcohol. And he didn't do it. It was the last thing to go. And it went just a couple weeks before he started seminary. God's got this. God's got this. Whether it be alcoholism or depression or discouragement or lack of breakthroughs in your work situation or with people you're praying for, God's got this. We can rest in him. We can have faith and trust in his word. Amen? Amen. And says, for indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. It did them no good to hear the word of God. Why not? It says, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. Are we believing the scriptures when we're reading them? Maybe you're feasting every day. You're like, I'm opening the Bible every day, man, and I'm not getting anything out of it. Nothing's happening. I'm still distant from God. Maybe you're just taking it in intellectually. You're getting understandings and comprehension of the grammar. But it's a cold thing. It's not mixed with faith. Maybe you're not believing what you're reading. The Bible says in James chapter 1, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Don't think that just because you've heard the word of God is going to all of a sudden, you know, you're good. You go to a church service, and man, it feels good. It felt good to be in the presence of God and whatnot, but I'm not going to go out and do it. You know, I've heard somebody say that the measure of a good sermon is the impact. What's happening? How has it changed your behavior? That's the measure of a good sermon. It's not the delivery. It's not the passion. It's none of that. How has it impacted your life? How has the Lord impacted your life? This is why you're here. I hope. You're here to get built up and strengthened and encouraged and filled with the Holy Spirit of God so that you can go out and be a witness. So that you can go to your workplace and you can be working alongside your workmate and you can say, in response to something that maybe they're going through a hard time. And they've seen you over there just lit up for Jesus, you know, just smiling, being a witness for Jesus Christ. And yeah, you've messed up and then you said you're sorry, whatever. Anyway, you get what I'm saying? You're just living the life. And then they say they're going through some hard times. And you're like, can I pray for you about that? Sure. You don't have to be afraid, guys, to offer prayer to people. The worst thing that can happen is they'll say no. That's the worst thing that'll happen. You haven't violated any HR rules or anything by asking someone if they want prayer. You haven't. Because if they say yes, you're good. If they say no, don't pray for them. All right, man. Don't force yourself on them. Good luck with that, you know? But we can be lights and witnesses. We can share the gospel with people around us, no matter where we are or what we're doing. So praise the Lord. Let's mingle the word that we're taking in with faith. Let's believe it. Let's not be hearers of the word only, but doers of the word. Amen? Amen. The bread. The bread. Now, the water. The water. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 17. Chapter 17. Keep your finger in John. We're going to come back to John chapter 7. I love this, that the bread is in Exodus 16. Jesus has commentary on the bread in John chapter 6. The water is in Exodus 17. We're going to find that Jesus has commentary on the water in John chapter 7. So Exodus chapter 17. The very next event that happens after God provides bread for them in their hunger in the wilderness is his provision of water. Because as they continue on into the wilderness, they come to a place of thirst. They're thirsty. And they desire water really bad. That's what thirst is, by the way, in case you didn't know. They need water. And so it says, then all the congregation of the children of Israel set out on the journey from the wilderness of Sin, according to the commandment of the Lord, and camped in Rephidim. But there was no water for the people to drink. Therefore the people contended with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. So Moses said to them, why do you contend with me? Why do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, why is it you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our livestock with thirst? You want to kill us. And Moses is going, no. And God's going, no, I don't want to kill you. I want you to live. I don't want you to rely on worldly things. I want you to take your eyes off the physical and onto the spiritual. I have something to offer you that's greater than the temporary. It's the eternal. And that's what he wants to do. But to paint this picture, he provides for them in the physical. And it's a wonderful, miraculous provision. Let's read on. So Moses cried out to the Lord in verse 4, saying, what shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. Also take in your hand your rod with which you struck the river and go. Speaking of when he struck the Nile River and it turned to blood. Behold, I will stand before you there on the rock in Horeb, and you shall strike the rock, and water will come out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. So he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah because of the contention of the children of Israel and because they tempted the Lord, saying, is the Lord among us or not? Is the Lord among us or not? Have you been there? Is God here or what? Look at this. I can't even believe I don't have any money. I can't be like, this relationship, this health issue. Is God among me? Is he around or not? Wake up, Lord. You know? God is among us. And he wants us to have faith in that and trust in that. He's always gotten us through, hasn't he? Every time. Every single time. He's come through. Daily manna. We wake up in the morning and there's the food. We wake up in the morning and there's the food and there's the food and there's the food and there's the food. Are you among us or not? Yes. He's among us. He's among us in the form of his Holy Spirit. Praise Jesus. Now, let's look at that. So the rock we know is Jesus Christ. How do I know that? Because the scripture tells me that. It tells me that in a second, hold on, wrong page. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 4, it says, "And all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." That rock was Christ. And so Jesus is the rock. Pastor Louis, who right now is preaching for the Spanish ministry, God bless him and fill him with your spirit, Lord Jesus, in Jesus' name, Father God. He's preaching for he was my youth pastor. And he came up with a song for us when I was a youthful person. And it was, "Jesus is the rock and he rolls my blues away. Jooby dooby pop, woo! Jesus is the rock and he took my blues, he took my blues and I'll take yours too." Oh, anyway. Yeah. Pastor Louis was awesome as a youth pastor. I just really enjoyed him. So Jesus is the rock. So we got the rock, right? We got Moses. He's got his rod in his hand, and Moses represents the law, right? The law came by Moses, but truth and grace by the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took the rod in his hand, and he smote the rock, just like Jesus was smitten, and his back was beaten, and his face was bloodied. And he took the crown of thorns, and his body was broken for us. So that what could happen? So that life could come out. Life. Eternal life. Forever. Forgiveness. Love. All the fruits of the Holy Spirit pouring forth from Jesus Christ. I love that scene in Ben-Hur, the old Ben-Hur, where they stab him and the water and the blood comes out and this blood and it's raining and the blood's dripping down onto the ground and then begins to mingle with the water of the rain and pour out and pour forth. And then Ben-Hur's mom gets healed. Anyway, I hope I didn't ruin the movie for you. So it's just such a great scene, and it's so true that that water that comes forth as a result of Jesus Christ being smitten. So this picture is just awesome. And then later on in Numbers, you know, Moses is told to speak to the rock, because today Jesus has been smitten. We just have to ask. Jesus said, he said of the Holy Spirit, you know, he said, what father among you, you know, if your child asks for bread, will you give him a stone? If he asks for a fish, will you give him a scorpion? No. Oh, actually, the fish was a serpent. And then if he asked for something else, can't remember what it was, we give him a scorpion. No, you, if you being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give you the Holy Spirit to him who asks? So easy. We just have to ask. God, fill me with your Spirit. God, fill me with your Spirit. And so the water is the Holy Spirit coming forth. Let's read what Jesus has to say about this. John chapter 7. John chapter 7. So it's the Feast of Tabernacles in Jerusalem. Everybody's come from everywhere in Israel to converge upon Jerusalem for one of these three feasts. It's the Feast of Tabernacles. This is the feast where they set up tents around the city. And everybody sleeps in the tents for a week. And they do it to commemorate, to remember what has happened in the wilderness with their ancestors. And so there they are, and just enjoying this feast and remembering God's provision for them in the wilderness. And one of the ceremonies that they did was that the priest would go down to the Pool of Siloam, and he would take a pitcher of water. He'd come up to the altar of the temple, and he'd pour it out to remember how God provided water for the people there in the wilderness when they were thirsty. Is anybody getting thirsty yet with me talking about all this? Pours it out, and all the people just rejoice in God's provision, right? Well, on the eighth day, it says here, verse 37 of chapter 7, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water, torrents of living water." And so he just yells out publicly this invitation to come to him and to drink. And if they believe on him, out of their hearts will flow torrents of living water. Well, there's commentary on this. Verse 39, it says, "But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified." And then after Jesus was glorified, he sent his Spirit. In fact, he appeared to the disciples, and he said to them, "Receive my Spirit," and he breathed on them. He gave them his Holy Spirit. And so, it's a beautiful thing. Let's take a look at John chapter 14. Jesus is about to be crucified. It's the night before. It's after the Last Supper. And he begins to tell his disciples that he's going away, but not to be troubled, that he's going to send a helper, the Holy Spirit. And this is what he says in verse 15, "If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." I love this. He's going to come to us by the power of his Holy Spirit, by the presence of his Holy Spirit. Jesus comes to us. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, he breathed on them. He left the Holy Spirit. He said, "Wait for the promise of the Father." He ascended into heaven, and they all watched him leave. He was gone. Jesus is gone. What do we do now? We're alone. You are not alone. He sent the Holy Spirit. You see, the Holy Spirit and Jesus and the Father are one. So for the Holy Spirit to be with us means that Jesus is with us. That's what it means. And that's why Jesus is able to say to you, "Hey, don't worry about it. I'm going away, but you know, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit." And then he says in that last little phrase, he says, "I will come to you." He's going to come to us. So he's with us. He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." He's present with us by the power of his Spirit. I can't touch him physically, right? But I have his Holy Spirit here, and so he's with me. Praise the Lord. Praise Jesus. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the bread, and we need the water. We need the water. You know, sometimes we just come to that place where we're just really dry. You know, maybe we're reading the Word, but it's just not really happening. And I was going through a time in my life where I was getting a lot of the Word, but I just wasn't spending that time with the Holy Spirit. That time, I wasn't getting that touch from Him. That touch. that experience, that encounter with the Lord through His Holy Spirit. And I was thirsty, man. I was thirsty. I'm like, God, I just need a touch from You. Because from that touch, just like water brings refreshment, so does the Holy Spirit. He brings us spiritual refreshment. Take a look. We got to look at this scripture before I finish this thought. It's Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 and 21. Peter is giving a sermon. And he says in verse 19, repent. Repent, that means change your mind, therefore, and be converted, be changed, that your sins may be blotted out, completely erased, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Refreshing. I remember being on a mountain bike ride one time, and we were just out of water. We were hot. It was horrible. And we came to this little stream, and there were little water striders and everything in there. I jumped in, didn't care. Go ahead, water striders and frogs. I don't care. I need refreshment. And oh, the rest of the ride just was incredible because I had that cold water refreshment. We need refreshment from the Holy Spirit. Do you ever feel dry? Do you ever feel hot? Do you ever feel parched? And you just need some fresh refreshment from the Lord. He wants to give it to us. He says, draw near to Me and I will draw near to you. And we just have to come into His presence. So I was dry. I was going through this hard time, you know, and I was at church and the pastor was just preaching on coming up for a fresh touch from the Lord. For a fresh encounter with the Holy Spirit, so that we can be empowered to be witnesses for Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, I was on the edge of my seat because I was so thirsty that as soon as I saw that water coming out, I wanted to go get a drink. I want a drink. Lord, I need a drink. I need to just dive in. And we're going to be having an invitation for you today, just like for me that day, for you to come forward and get prayer from some of us that will be up here, that you might have a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, just to get refilled. Maybe you've had it before, and you're like, I know exactly what that guy's talking about. I got things happening at work. Yeah, I've been in the Word, but it's just dry. I need a fresh touch from the Lord God Almighty. Maybe you've never experienced it. Maybe you're looking at me today going, this guy's off his rocker. All I need is the Scriptures, man. Just give me bread. I don't need water to wash it down. You need water. I know a guy that he just wanted so badly to have a touch from the Lord, and he was praying for it. And so he was going home and just asking for it. You know, laying in bed going, God, I just need a touch from You. I just need to experience You. And finally, the Lord showed up. Remember, if we ask, we're going to get. If we want it, we'll get it. If we don't want it, don't worry, you won't get it. And you're missing out. You're missing out. And so today we are going to have that invitation. You know, in Ezekiel chapter 47, Ezekiel's being shown the temple that will be the temple during the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And the angel's showing him around and measuring, using his measuring stick to show him different places and stuff. He takes him to the threshold of the temple that faces east, and there on the south side of the threshold, from below the temple is coming a river. This is no ordinary river. This is a living river that brings life. That brings life. Wherever it goes, there's healing and there's life and there's thriving life. And on the banks of the river, the trees are growing and they're fruitful every month, bearing fruit. Isn't this awesome? And so the angel takes Ezekiel, and he's ankle deep in the river. And then he measures out another 1,000 cubits. And he goes out a little bit further into the river. And he's knee-deep in the river. And then he takes him out another 1,000 cubits, and he's waist-deep in the river. And then another 1,000 cubits, and the river, you got to swim. You got to swim! Where are you at today with the Lord? Are you ankle-deep? Are you knee-deep? Are you waist-deep? And God's saying, come on in. Water's fine. Nothing to be afraid of. I love you so much. I love you so much. I want to take you deeper with me. Just come to me and drink. Drink of the water of life. Drink. Oh, drink. Oh, dive in. Man, God wants to do that with us. So wherever you're at today, you can always go a little deeper, a little more. Maybe your toe's in, you know? And God's going, just come up to your ankles, come on. You don't have to dive in, but your ankles, think about it. Your feet will feel so nice. Maybe your toe's not even in, and you're not even a believer today. And God's saying to you, today's your day. Today's the day where you can receive the forgiveness of God through his blood sacrifice on the cross for your sins. And you can rejoice in the resurrection and enter into newness of life. So let's do two things. Number one, let's say the sinner's prayer together today as a family. And if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, then today's your day. Say this prayer along with us in your heart and mean it, and you will be saved. And then Pastor Mark's going to come up, and he's going to invite you to come forward. And I want to encourage you, do it. There's something about getting up out of your seat and saying, yes, I need prayer. I need the Holy Spirit in my life. And you know, just come up out of your seat. So let's pray first. And let's, as a church family, please repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy of your presence. And I'm not worthy of heaven. I deserve hell. Please forgive me of my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross for my sins and rising from the dead to give me the hope of eternal life. Come into my life. Come into my heart. I give myself to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, God bless you guys. Pastor Mark's going to come up right now.